from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Hollywood actress turned healer, Melanie Martin.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Paul Green. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Like most of our shows, I had a great conversation with our guest today. Prior to the show, actually yesterday, and I have been thinking about our conversation ever since on so many levels. One of the things that stuck with me and in a way haunted me so much that I had to do some research. So she said, we're going to talk about the basics. And then she said, and then I you know, definitely want to go over the basics. And then she said, because people need to know the basics. And this word, the basics, stuck with me because the basics are basic. They should be known by all of us already. And so in a sense, we could be reviewing the basics. But when she told me about some of the basics, I thought, oh, that's not something that a lot of people talk about, or I don't hear that enough. And so I even went and researched the word basics. Like I was looking for synonyms, words that meant something similar to basic. And I came up with or found fundamental, core, vital, primary, foundational. These sound really important. These sound like things that we should have known all this time, supported each other in all of this. And thankfully, we're going to learn some basics today. And you hopefully know a lot of them. But it's interesting. Here's another word that I came up with that was similar to basic: elementary. And that word is really interesting because it reminded me of elementary school, where technically we're supposed to learn the basics. And so, I unfortunately remembered learning things in that elementary school that I've had a hard time forgetting, that I know today are not true. I remember learning things in school about how we're supposed to eat or what we're supposed to eat, and going home and telling my parents, we're not supposed to eat that, we have to eat more of this, or we're supposed to eat this, or we have to eat like this, or eat. And my parents, God bless them, they tried to make me happy, but these were two people that immigrated here from Italy, where there's a blue zone right next to where they were born, and it probably would be a blue zone too, but where exactly where they were born, where they eat organic and healthy foods, and they have active lifestyles and community, and I'm trying to tell them this is how we're supposed to do it because the teachers in elementary school taught me, and they taught me things that were probably encouraged by some special interest groups or groups that wanted people to consume more this or that. And we won't get into that today, but I'm so grateful for that conversation. I'm so grateful for this one. Let's get into basics.
Wow, I think let's go even beyond basics. I'm really excited for tonight's show. What a powerhouse duo these two are. Melanie's talent is as big as her heart, but her courage and tenacity and her pursuits nowadays are certainly something to be reckoned with and to learn to be learned from. And can't wait to hear Paul Green at the end of the show. Big heart, big talent. Can't be more excited for tonight.
I'm excited too. And we've titled this show, How to Ignite Your Own Healing Powers. And that's part of the subtitle of our guest's book we'll be talking about in a moment. This is episode 805 of the Life Changes Show. And our interview guest is Hollywood actress turned healer, filmmaker, and author, Melanie Martin. Welcome, Melanie, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. Wow, what an introduction, you guys. It means a lot.
Thank you. You mean a lot.
Oh.
And this conversation means a lot. You know, we said a Hollywood actress turned healer and then filmmaker and then author, because it seems like the rest of your life has like just blossomed into this whole thing, which is in support of people and their health. Where did it start for you?
Well, you know, adversity strikes all of us in our life, and it's what we do with it that represents us. And so I lost my mom in 2008 and started doing a lot of research about cancer and wellness and true healing. And I learned that it's quite simple, even though we're often taught it's not. You know, it seems to be presented as this big complicated thing, but there are some very simple things that we can do to make sure that our well-being stays just that.
So I take it that you were learning things, obviously, that you didn't know throughout your life until that point where you started researching, decidedly. But throughout your life, you look great. You were modeling. You were in Hollywood films. You were revered in a sense for, you know, being looking perfect, being perfect. Did you know that something was not right, or what was that process like?
Well, for me, I grew up with this amazing single mom. She was, you know, this powerhouse. She was 4'11" and her nickname was the steamroller. So she made things happen. And I admired that about her. So I had the same qualities and I really honed those skills. But then I saw my mom die at a very, very early age. And I realized that she had shown me everything not to do.
Wow.
And it wasn't, you know, that she was this really unhealthy person or had really unhealthy habits. It was more about not taking time for herself, not taking care of herself, not making herself a priority. And I learned, and, you know, through all my research and interviews that I've done with some of the world's most brilliant minds, I learned it is very simple. You know, the body is a self-healing organism. So if we can remove the poison and make time for the wellness and make sure the body is nourished, it will heal itself.
Talk about basic.
Right? But how often in life do we not take a nap when we need it because we have something to do?
All the time.
Right. Nobody listens to their body when it whispers. They wait for it to yell. So I'm here to encourage everyone to listen to the whispers and to tune into what do you need? What does your body need? What is it asking for? Is it nourishment? Is it rest? Is it some joy? Is it, you know, fun? Is it laughter? Or, you know, is it go to bed early?
So in a sense, this may have been new to you, like these are the things that are important, but you got it from ancient wisdom and people that are keeping the ancient wisdom or bringing it forward today, right?
Yeah, correct. Like you know, in the Bible it says the herbs are for the healing of the nation. So wouldn't it be wise for us to understand which herbs heal the body from what ailments? So I started, you know, learning from one of the most brilliant minds in history, and that's Dr. Sebi. And Dr. Sebi went to, you know, they arrested him for practicing medicine without a license because he was curing all diseases. So he went to court in New York, in the Supreme Court, And he presented himself, represented his own case, and shared with the judge. And they said, well, bring in some patients that you've healed. So he did. He brought in 70. And he won that case because he had healed all diseases known to man using herbs. So why are we not, you know, focusing more on that and understanding that, hey, if I get sick and I have a cough or a sore throat or pneumonia, that I can take oil of oregano and not have any ill effects from taking that oil of oregano the same way as I would have some ill effects or side effects from antibiotics. So I wanted to know what really worked in coherence with the body, not as a chemical or a foreign substance to it.
So you, what came first? Were you, did you say, I'm going to make a movie about this? And then you started doing the interviews, or you started doing the interviews and thought, this has to be a movie?
Yeah, the second, actually. Yeah. I just was learning so much from these people and learning the truth. You know, that healing is quite simple. The body is this universe of, you know, millions and billions of cells that self-assimilate and do their own functions as they're supposed to do, as long as there's nothing preventing that mechanism of action. So, you know, getting the poison out, i.e. not drinking alcohol, choosing good, organic, good quality food, you know, putting in stuff that is in resonance with the body versus these toxins, you know?
Mm. Well, and then I like this phrase that you decided the film was not enough and a book was necessary to arm the public with the needed information to save their life. That book is Save Your Life, actually. In the book, you tell part the story that you've shared, and so where do you start? Where do people start?
Well, I think it's really important that we talk about wherever someone is right now is perfect.
Wow.
Like wherever you are, it's perfect to start right where you are. And some people think, oh gosh, you know, I'm a single mom. I've got two kids and I'm running from my job to picking up the kids. And there doesn't seem to be, they can't find any time. That's often what I hear. I can't find any time to do that. Well, we don't find time. We create it, right? So it's about learning to schedule yourself in your calendar. And even if it's something small, like I'm going to choose to get a better water source for myself and my kids, right? So, you know, let me ask some questions and see what is the best possible water source for my kids and I to drink. If that's all you can create time for, then that's 70% better than what you were doing. Because we're 70% water. So the quality of the water will affect every single cell in our body.
The way you said that phrase, when we were talking, I wrote it down and I put quotes around it and I put Melanie Martin because I think it could be a meme. You are perfect where you are. You are perfect where you are right now.
Yes.
And it's never too late to start. That does something also to our psychology. Like you haven't missed anything or whatever you did got helped get you here and now you're here, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I think we live in such a harsh environment with standards and expectations and, you know, fear of missing out and not being enough and not being good enough, not accomplishing enough. You know, that's really installed in us throughout our lives from our elders and from society. And it's really nice and feels very easing to the body to understand that you're perfect where you are. And because it is, that's what you've created. So you're perfect right there. And just from that step forward, it's like, how do I show up for myself just that little bit more? How do I take care of myself? Mm. Right. Mm. So water is number one for most people that I work with. Number two is, okay, we all eat. So that means we all create time to buy food. So it's like, what food are you buying? Just start there. You know, choose the healthier version. Show up for yourself in the store, make a decision that's going to, you know, empower you, not tear you down.
So before we go on, you were what I felt you were touching on is like taking care of yourself and all that. That sounds like self-love. And so the act of self-love is something that I want to go deeper into.
I would love to, because that's the true healing.
Really? How?
Well, of course, you know, I often talk about this with my clients in that we're so harsh to ourselves. But yet, if my best friend was sick, I would be at her door with soup and tell her to take a nap. I'll watch the kids, whatever it is that we need to do to help that person. We always show up for our best friend, but we never create the same experience for ourselves. So I often guide people to say, in saying this, why don't you treat yourself like you would treat your best friend? So sometimes that looks like I'm having a really stressful day at work and I need a nap, or I need, you know, a walk outside, or whatever it is to cope with the mental stress of what we're going through, because life is crazy. So it's learning how to cope in a healthy fashion that's a healing state versus, you know, cope through other ways of being that don't serve your highest good.
So you were talking about with me vibrating. So yeah. Tell us what's vibrating and how does it affect us?
So everything in the world is frequency. Each of us have our own unique frequency, the same as we have our own unique fingerprint, which is pretty cool. So knowing that, everything we consume in our lives affects our frequency. And so we start looking at things and paying attention and thinking, wow, when I watched that horror movie, I was, you know, jumping out of my seat in horror. And I know that I just dumped a whole bunch of cortisol in my body, the fight or flight hormone, because the body doesn't know that you're just watching a movie. It's scared. And so it's deciding, do I choose to watch that? Or do I choose to watch something that's funny or loving or kind to raise my frequency? Because everything we consume, and that means our mouth, our nose, our eyes, our ears, and our touch affects our frequency. So I choose things that will add to the totality of my resonance versus things that will minimize it or tear it down.
You know, you said, I know, if I watch a horror movie, I know that I just dumped a whole bunch of cortisol in my system. I'm glad you know that. Who else knows that? And who else? That sounds basic, speaking of basic, because if we knew that, like if our, I'm not blaming our parents, but it definitely not blaming our parents because they didn't know either. But if somebody could say, you really want to watch a horror film? Okay, if you watch the horror film, you know you're going to dump a bunch of cortisol in you. And then what you should do afterwards is this. I don't even know what that is. What do you do afterwards?
Well, it's funny, but when animals go into fight or flight, they do a lot of shaking. So they shake off the energy or the cortisol to release the stress hormones and get their body back into the autonomic, you know, peaceful state. So we as humans can do, you know, similar things. We can, some people like to go to dance class and shake off the stress. You know, some people need a nice detox bath to reset their autonomic nervous system. Some people can do breath work, meditation, sun gazing. There's so, even just walking barefoot on the grass will help the body reset itself. So there's so many tools at our disposal that are A, affordable, and B, doable.
Makes so much sense. This is so interesting, and I'm glad it's you. Like I'm sorry that you had to go through the things that you've gone through and still have to go through in order to get the message out. But coming from you, your personality, the way you look, the way you move about in the world, and I should caveat, I should say I've seen a couple clips of your movie that's not out yet, but so I'm like, you go. Just who is this woman? I want to meet her. Look at her go. Like go. So and so you mentioned a word. So when we come back, when we were talking, you mentioned coherence with ourselves. So I'm hearing vibration, I'm hearing, all this stuff. Dancing movement, so coherence with ourself, like what's that? And then, back to basics when after we've had that conversation. When we come back with our guest, Melanie Marden, after this, and we're gonna have a Ask Dorothy segment right after our conversation with Melanie, and then we'll be joined by Paul Green, who will be performing live with us here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtorg and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Okay, so our guest is Melanie Marden, and she's a Hollywood actress turned healer, filmmaker, and author. And so the film, actually, it has a new title, I think, right? What is the film name?
It's actually the same as the book, Save Your Life.
Save Your Life. Okay, so
Yeah.
Save Your Life, the ultimate guide to the true history of cancer and how to ignite your own healing powers. And we're getting a taste of that right here with Melanie Marden on the show. You could go to saveyourlifemovie.com and learn more about her, or follow her on Instagram at official Melanie Marden, Marden. So, Melanie, I have a feeling coherence ties into vibrating at ease, etc.
Yes, absolutely. We have several body systems, right? And if they are not working together, then we're going to have symptoms start to pop out from there. And so I don't like to work with symptoms. I like to work with the root cause, which is getting those body systems back in coherence. Excuse me. yeah. I just forgot what I was going to.
Well, so what you had said earlier that I really liked, that you were saying we could vibrate at ease, or we could vibrate at something else, right? And so that somehow we're out of coherence when that happens.
Right, exactly. So, I like to use the example. We take our cars in for little tune-ups. So we get a oil filter or a oil change, and this thing needs to be tightened, and this thing is, the connection is loose. So we take our car in to do that very often, to make sure it runs effectively. I like to work with the body the same way. So we want to make sure that everything's working in divine flow, the way it's supposed to operate.
Wow. Okay. So back to basics, what are the, you've already shared, I'm sure, you know, people might want to listen to this again, because you have shared in so many ways what now hopefully feels obvious, like self-love and taking time for ourselves, or how did you say it? Treating ourselves like treating our best friend kind of thing.
Yeah, because we don't give ourselves the same grace. And I think it's really important that we do give ourselves that grace, because life is difficult. You know, most people have a lot on their schedule. They're overwhelmed. They're tired. Instead of stopping and making a healthy dinner, they're just grabbing something on the go because they don't have time. So it's really about showing up for yourself and giving yourself grace. So some people, when they start a wellness journey, you know, they focus on what they're not doing right. So they figure, you know, forget it, I'm not going to do it. Mm. But I really think it's important to stress that, you know, each thing that we do is an act of self-love. So whether it's make a healthy dinner or order a healthy dinner, if that's the worst, you know, the best you can do, you know, and celebrate the things that you are doing for yourself. Like, I went to bed early last night, I'm proud of myself. Or I went to the gym today, I'm proud of myself. And even if you don't show up for yourself the rest of the day, it's still an act of love that you've done, and the body receives that healing. So celebrate the wins. Don't focus on what you're not accomplishing or not doing yet. If you celebrate your wins, it will be a spiral up, and it will attract and resonate more healing things for yourself that you will show up and do for yourself. But if you focus on the lack or the stuff you're not doing, then you will attract more of that into your life. So again, we're back to resonance. We're back to coherence. And everything is frequency. So our thoughts are also frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, speaking of frequency in a different way, some of the basics, or at least one in particular that I think you're going to mention, wasn't necessarily around, at least not as we knew it, in the years when we grew up. So, and that's how we use technology today and how ubiquitous it is, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Electromagnetic frequencies are man-made frequencies, and they are disruptive to our own frequency. So we have a frequency that resonates with the earth. We're biological, just like she is, and we are in coherence with her, which means a natural state of resonance, which is peaceful and harmonious for ourselves. So the electromagnetic frequencies, and let's think about those, right? We've got our cell phone, we've got iPads, computers. A lot of people have the earbuds, the Bluetooth headphones, right? All of these things scattered throughout our home, interfering with our own resonance, and not to mention the biological effects. You know, it disrupts our mitochondria, which is the energy in the cell, you guys. If you are around a lot of technology and you're feeling depleted energetically and tired all the time, it's probably from EMFs, because they affect the mitochondria, which is the energy center point of each cell in our body. So they can definitely and drastically affect us. So it's learning how to live in harmony with those things, right? So we have to, if you're with your computer 8 hours a day, then what are you doing for the other hours in the day? Make sure when you're sleeping and resting, there's no technology in your room, because that stress on the body, just it being in the room, even if it's turned off, I get that question a lot. It is disturbing your resonance, and your body is interpreting it as harm to the body. So the body is then staying in a state of fight or flight. Mm. Which means we're not dropping into rest and recovery. So the body's, you know, uncomfortable And if it's uncomfortable for a long period of time, that's where dis-ease comes from.
So this is a new basic, and you inspired something. So your story about watching a horror film and dumping a bunch of cortisol into your body, and potentially a parent being able to say, okay, you watch that, now go do this. Well, similarly, okay, you've been on the computer all day, or you've been on your laptop, whatever, now go do this. What is the this we need to go do?
I love that. Okay, so what do I do? I do have to work with a computer while I'm working with my clients. So I have, you know, very, very strict routines that I do. So I go to the gym every day. So I move my body. Number one, I like to live in my body, not in my head. I feel like when you're in the body, you're living in your heart and you're connected. But most people live in their head because they're so busy, they're disconnected from themselves. So I like to be in my body. I like to go to the gym. If somebody doesn't go to the gym and they're still around a lot of technology, they can take a very simple step, and that is go outside with no shoes and step on your grass or lay on your grass. Really discharge those positive ions and receive the negative healing ions or the groundedness from the earth, and that will help put your body back at ease. Another powerful tool that I use that's free as long as you have a bathtub is a detox bath with Epsom salts and baking soda. That's a really powerful medicinal bath. So, you know, 15 minutes later, you could feel a whole heck of a lot better.
Melanie, I know of something else that you do. As a matter of fact, you were doing it while we were talking on the phone yesterday. You were at the beach.
Yes, that's my favorite place to be. The sunshine and the sand and the salt water. I mean, what more medicine can you get?
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Absolutely. Just being in nature is actually medicine. The frequencies in nature are all harmonious. So everything is in agreement in nature. Everything. I mean, the bunny might not like that the fox hunts it, but it agrees that it does. So everything is harmonious. And when we put our own biological body in that space, those frequencies penetrate us and allow us to resonate with that harmony. So our bodies get into coherence with it, and it is therefore very healing. So just simply walking around a bunch of trees for 10, 20 minutes is medicine enough.
And this sounds basic. I actually can't get more basic than that.
Well, the sad thing is in our world, it's, you know, these concrete jungles are all built up, and there's not really even sometimes grass, which is weird. So it's about finding space and creating space, you know, to be in nature, because most of us, our lives don't look like that, right? I mean, we're lucky in Los Angeles. We can go hiking. We have the mountains. We have the beach. But there's a lot of places in the world that don't offer these so abundantly. So, you know, it's important that we take time to be in nature, because as a human species, that's how we are made, to be in nature.
So speaking of nature, your nature is you wanted to make sure that people had, because there are a lot of things people could do, including coming to see you and getting support and healing and all of that. You wanted to make sure that people had things that were affordable or free or something that was available to them that they could start right away. And so thank you for that. And you've shared grounding yourself, clean water, healthy food. You talked about self-love and taking care of yourself. Anything else you want to make sure we bring up or you bring up before we end our time together?
Absolutely. I'm sure most people have heard about breath work. Well, our breath is our superpower. And I've seen people transform their lives and their bodies with just their breath. So play with that. And some people are like, well, I don't know how to do breath work, so I'm not going to do it. Well, if you breathe, you know how to do breath work. And there's no wrong way to do it. There's only, you know, more impactful ways to do it. Most of us are shallow breathers, so we breathe just in the top third of our lungs. So it's learning how to use your full lung capacity and, you know, consciously focusing on your breath is medicine. So lay down, pay attention to your breath, breathe in your nose and out your mouth slowly and efficiently. And that alone can help the body detox, regenerate, oxygenate, and heal.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are just not empowered because we've been disempowered for our healing. And I really want to empower people to be their own doctor, to take their healing into their own hands, because it's not as complicated as we've been led to believe. The sun is healing. It brings life. Without it, we would all die. Go in the sun. People are told, oh, the sun is dangerous. Stay out of the sun. No, the plants, everything would die without the sun. So we need it. Get it in your eyes first thing in the morning, last thing before bed, before it goes down. You know, those healing light rays regenerate our body. So look at the sun at the morning and the night. Get some, you know, at least half an hour front and back on your skin every day. Yeah, it regenerates.
Wow. Save your life. So Save Your Life is the title of the movie that's going to come out, and you're going to let us know when that happens so we can share with our audience, I trust. But the book, is the book out?
Yeah, the book is actually a bestseller in 5 countries.
Oh, boom, boom. And there it is. Oh, so Save Your Life, the ultimate guide for the true history of cancer and how to ignite your own healing powers. And that's by our guest, Melanie Marden. Melanie, thank you so much for being on the show with us, but for sharing all this information and doing what you do. More power to you. You go, like I said.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be able to share and help people.
And so it is. Thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Well, a big thank you to Melanie Marden. And now it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Cherie, and it was wonderful connecting with you last week when you came to our home in Topanga. I felt a kinship with you and your energies. You intuited I was distraught, and when you asked me what would bring me joy, I broke down and cried, and I said, I don't know. And then I had to go to work on my massage client I didn't get to talk to again before you left. However, I think I know the answer now, and I want to share it. I will be happy when the people I love are wanting the same political people I support instead of being caught up in the lies of the opposition. How can I manifest this?
Precious Cherie, you say you want the people you love to have your same political views, and that is understandable. However, when we truly love others, we love them unconditionally, and we know and understand that there will be many differences of opinion. It is not your job to change them, and I can't imagine how you can manifest the kind of change you are seeking. There are a few of the people I love who don't share my same ideas of who is best in government, and I choose to love them anyway because of all of their wonderful qualities that brought them close to my heart in the first place. Earlier today, I spoke with a very dear friend who called me to thank me for all of the wisdom and guidance I shared with him years ago. We were having a wonderful conversation, and then he mentioned his frustration with one candidate, and I just listened quietly and then changed the conversation back to what was going on in his personal life right now. I didn't need to engage and tell him that I was on the opposite side of the fence in this situation. Our conversation went on for some time, and at the end, he thanked me again for sharing even more love and wisdom with him concerning his present challenges. It might be a great idea to remember why you came to love your friends in the first place, and to simply remember that real love is unconditional, accepting, and supportive of one another. I trust you will soon see by remembering all of the reasons you love your friends that your relationships are more important than political differences.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Paul Green here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest is singer, songwriter, and so much more we're about to find out. Paul Green, welcome, Paul, to the Life Changes Show.
Thanks so much for having me. How are you guys doing?
We are great. We just had a great interview. And now, you know, it's interesting, actually, because I actually see a similarity between what our guest did. She's a Hollywood actress turned healer. Well, you're still a Hollywood actor and you're turned singer-songwriter, but it was always in her, in a sense. It's always been in you. How has it always been in you, the music?
Yeah, I mean, from the earliest age of being forced to sit through church is where it came from, really. And then I was like, honestly, I grew up very religious and very, I guess, in a Protestant, very Pentecostal. So the music was quite lively and quite excitable. So. And then just for me to kind of endure it all, I learned to play drums so that I was actually in church and could tolerate being there so many hours a week.
You were the loudest one in the room too, probably.
Yeah, I was. And then just my dad, you know, everybody played music. My dad, growing up, hearing my dad play guitar, my mom played organ. It was just, it was around me. But then I met this hot model when I was 18 who, you know, played guitar and she loved Jesus in a different kind of way that I was used to. And I was like, if I'm going to be with that person, I need to learn guitar and, you know, stop doing this crazy stuff. And that kind of, that was a big moment. And so I traveled with my guitar for like 18 years in around the world and started writing songs. And music kind of found me that way.
You were actually traveling around the world. Why?
Modeling. Yeah, modeling took me when I was in a Canadian guy named Kelly Streit saw me dancing on a speaker apparently with my shirt off and eating an apple. This is what his story is. I vaguely remember the night. I don't know. It was like, I was in college on a volleyball scholarship and someone's like, you got to go to this club. Kelly's going to be there. And I think you could model. And so I like went there and he saw me and he invited me behind the Velvet Rope Society, which is where like the supermodels were at that point. Trisha Helfer, who had just won Ford Supermodel of the World. And then he found me the next day, took pictures, and my life changed like that night. And that's kind of how I got out of Alberta, Canada, to like see the world. And then I knew I would end up in LA for acting because I was dreaming on the farm of being on set and Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bloodsport. I watched that movie and I kept waking up in Bloodsport, like fighting and acting. And I was like, I have to act. And that was at 16. And so eventually made my way back around to acting through modeling and music. And it's just kind of all the three of them just kind of hung out for quite decades, really.
I'm just watching your face. You're reminiscing.
Yeah. There's a lot there, man.
Crazy times. And on all that time, you had your faithful guitar with you. Might have been a different one, but.
Yeah, very different guitars along the way. And I used it to like tell people about God, I guess, like, which is in the moment and not from like, I don't know. It came everywhere. I wrote 50, I don't know, 60 songs, and it would stand on subways and subway trains and in big train stations and just sing. And like, yeah, it was a really profound time in my 20s, like no sex, no drugs, just like all God and music. And I was so focused on one thing, which is pleasing God, that I had so much of that sexual energy put into, I mean, like I got my pilot's license when I was 22 and saved up money and bought real estate, bought an airplane.
Wow.
Learned how to cook from living with families rather than model apartments. I found a French family, Italian family, a Filipino family, and learned how to cook and then learn their language. Like put myself in school. It was crazy. It was like the most of my 20s were so focused because I wasn't just getting high and trying to find girls or get my, you know, get in bed with girls all throughout my 20s. It was really an interesting flip.
I'm feeling a new genre, God and rock and roll.
Right.
although actually the genre is more Americana/country-ish, right?
Yeah, it's whatever, you know, it's, I would say it, cause it's not quite country except for the last album I did was in Nashville and it was all Nashville superstars who were session players playing Smith Curry, who's played on, you know, Randy Travis, seven number ones, Pedal Steel. He produced it. Huh. And so he brought with him all these superstar ringers for day players for my album. And so it was a unique way to do an album, but it sounds very Nashville, my last one. But the one before was done here in LA with Sam Babayan, who's in the Medicine Circle. And
yeah. Sam,
you probably
yeah.
know Sam. Yeah, Sam.
We've had him on the show.
Yeah. You've had Sam on the show?
Yes. Oh my gosh, he's amazing.
Sam is like, he really, so he produced my first record here. Nice. And has just been, you know, he brought me into the Troubadour and the Hotel Cafe. He's been like a big part of my music sound, him and Fernando is the one of his producing buddies.
How cool. Well, actually, we're going to get to hear something that has all the elements of what we've talked about. We're going to get to talk more in just a little bit, but happy to say that Paul Green is with us. He's going to be performing live here online on the Life Changes show. Here is his song. Actually, it speaks for itself, right? The song?
This song, Freedom? I guess so, yeah. Yeah, it's a very recent song, and it's listening, watching things happening with Ukraine and with like politics and everybody trying to tell people what to do. This song kind of came out of both COVID and then what happened is what's been going on in Europe and just the state of like what everyone's kind of after. The song is called Freedom.
Yeah,
it sounds really political, my song. It's crazy that the word freedom is so political, but just the way it shakes out, I guess.
That's the moment for sure. Here's Paul Green live on the Life Changes show with his song Freedom.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to put on my reverb, and I'm using a looping pedal, so usually it goes really well with this thing, but it's sometimes it adds the element of surprise, because things it is a technical instrument on its own, and it's old, so. I'm a man of God, a man of the devil too. Often wind up doing the things that I know I shouldn't do. In an upside down world where war don't make much sense, I find myself with brothers now on both sides of the fence. Oh, I'm gonna get me some. If you raise his taxes, if you take away his guns, take away his right to use. Well, he's gonna shoot someone. He said this is God's country, the land of the free, and that peaceful, easy feeling, man, it isn't guaranteed. Oh, he won't. Do that. If you tell her that she ain't strong, well, she'll move the tallest mountains just to show you you were wrong. She was born on a motorbike. She's got a lot of fight. Yeah, she's as tough as nails and afraid to fail. She'll love you good and right. Freedom. Freedom.
Freedom and Paul Green. Thank you for that. You can find Paul Green actually everywhere. Paul Green, Green is G-R-E-E-N-E. So paulgreen.com. Find him at Paul Green Official on most of the socials, I think. So we have links for him at lifechangesshow.com. But Paul Green, you'll find him. Actually, where did we find that song? Is it out yet?
Yeah, and that's one of the ones that was done in Nashville. So it has pedal steel, and it it sounds really polished. It sounds, I like the song sounding kind of just like this, but
yeah, thanks for that, for doing it unplugged for us. Nice.
Yeah, no, I like it like that. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes the looper, it's one of these old RC30s, and it, I don't know. There's times when it's just rock solid, and you hit it on the downbeat. Then there's other times you do it just the same, but the loop comes in at another time. So
it thinks it knows better.
It does. It does.
it's like, trust me, this is going to help you somebody.
That's right. Unless it's because it could never be me being off in that moment. No, it has to be the machine. It's like I always blame. I'm like, there's something wrong with the looper. It's probably just my timing. But
you know, you said this, the freedom. Politicization of freedom or what have you, and this kind of all started during COVID. Well, a lot started during COVID. As a matter of fact, you started something else. Was it just before COVID or did it take off during COVID? Well, tell us about your lives.
Yeah, it was right at the live streaming part of my music, which really, you know, it goes back to Sam. It goes a little further back. So I did a movie with a Christmas movie, and in it was Dick Van Dyke and Angela Lansbury. And
oh, what was that?
It's called Buttons, and Kate Winslet's narrating it with Robert Redford. And I got this offer to be in this movie. And my team thought it was a scam because it was like, you know, nobody even thought that Angela Lansbury and Dick Van Dyke were still making movies. This was wow. Like four years ago. But the director, I finally got in touch with them, and I fired actually that manager who I was working with. They were this huge company, and they're just, I would have missed this really cool opportunity. But I did the movie, and the director does this fundraiser at Carnegie Hall with Kate Winslet for autism. And he heard my cover of Hallelujah, which I'd had on YouTube for 10 years or something. And he said, do you want to come do Hallelujah at Carnegie Hall with 200 choir and 100 symphony? And so I said, yes. But then I did a ceremony with Sam, and I was so touched by him. I was like, do you want to help me do this album and get ready for Carnegie Hall? So he introduced me to his singing teacher, Mark Goodman. And then this kind of journey was happening, and recorded an album and did Carnegie Hall. And then everything happened with the shutdowns and with COVID. And I had a TV show I was on for 5 years called When Calls the Heart. And they had asked me to do a Facebook Live before my character's main episode of that season. I think it was season 8 or 9. And I said, sure, what is that? And then I hadn't really done a Facebook Live. Really, I had done one for a couple movies, like just interviews. But then I was like, all right, I'm going to do a 30-minute music set. And 5,000 people came to my Facebook because Hallmark promoted it. And I'm sitting there playing music to 5,000 people over Facebook. I'm like, okay, there's something here. So I got such a high from it, and then I realized everyone's stuck at home, so I went live 3 times a week, and that was almost, I guess, 5 years now, 4.5 years ago, and I've done about a thousand live streams, if you count, like, every show is like one, but every show is really 6 or 7, because I streamed to all the platforms kind of at once.
For hours?
Yeah, I think my record's 4.5 hours. When I was in Vancouver shooting a movie, I just started playing, and I use a program so I can see the chords. And so people make requests, and then if I have heard the song, I can kind of figure it out. And a lot of the times I'm figuring stuff out for the first time, which is part of, I think, of the fun of the lives.
And you talk to people, and it's not just about talking to people. Like, I got a good sense of this, is you really have a lot of messages, and you really want to share them.
I guess my partner Kate and I have this company called Freedom Alchemist, and I guess I've always had, when I look back at like traveling Europe with my guitar trying to tell people about Jesus, feeling I need to save the world, right? I feel like maybe I still have a bit of that, but it's much more like waking people up in a sense to not just like to driving in their life, not just being a passenger in a sense. And then I do the health and well-being. I have my functional nutrition degree. And so, you know, we do detoxes with Mark Hyman's people, and we take people kind of through this journey of sort of waking up, like waking up to eating real food and not just being programmed by your phone or your TV. Like, it's a whole lifestyle design. And so usually on my lives, I share little kind of nuggets just like throughout the conversation, you know, about being kind and gentle to yourself and your thoughts on purpose, like just a little bit from the Tao or something. It's kind of all over the place, but the songs I play kind of prompt sort of a conversation. And yeah, just try, I guess I'm just trying to remind people that they're a lot bigger than just their algorithm and their like their confirmation bias that people just get in these bubbles. And I'm like, it's just one perspective. There's so many ways to look at this beautiful flying thing of dirt out in space, like, and your experience on it between your dashes is so short. Like, make it count. Just don't do it to please somebody else or to like get love or affection or appreciation or impress your father or something. Like, actually, you can live this life in a way that's like unique to you, and it's actually life or death. You have to, because you just have this little tiny time on earth to live your full expression of who you are rather than who you think others want you to be or some BS like that. So that's kind of the conversations that we have, and I love it. I think it's amazing.
You know, I just had a thought. I'm sure you've thought of it, and you've probably been asked and turned it down because it's the way that we've been watching TV, and we're looking for drama, or we need that kind of a hit. But your son came on before we went live, and then I think I heard Kate in the background, definitely while we were talking yesterday, and she sounded so sweet. And I'm thinking, what about a reality show of a real family like you all?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a thing to put yourself out in that way. It would have to be the highest form of, like, you know, I feel like sometimes people do that in a narcissistic way. So it would have I would have to check myself so many times to make sure that my intentions were right. Like, to actually not do, like, to, and you know, Kate's so private. That would really work. I could not imagine Kate doing that. I'm like the extrovert and she's an introvert. So
I'm just saying that see that kind of an example, like how you were being a father with your son, and actually, and this carries through, and before you do the second song, talk about nuggets. This nugget of what you shared with me yesterday, I thought was really interesting. You kind of said in passing what I ended up focusing on. So, like, you sing for convalescent homes or retirement homes, but you had this thing that you said kind of in passing under your breath, that you actually have somebody seek out homes where people don't get a lot of attention or don't get a lot of visitors. And that's the one you go to.
Yeah. I remember listening to Tony Robbins on this old tape, and he goes, if you're depressed, go to a nursing home or a retirement home and ask them at the front who never gets read to, and go read to that person. So it was inspired a bit by that. It was like, and if you're depressed or feeling anxious or unfulfilled, it's probably because you're trying to live for so much for yourself and get your needs met or feel good or something weird like that, when it's like flipped. You just have to go do things for others in a way that's of service. And then, like, it doesn't take 10 minutes into being in that retirement home or sitting with that person, looking at that like 80 or 90 year old face as you're reading them like a children's book or something. It's just like, there's few things that can kind of light that up like that. And then when I get to play music for them, I get to time travel them back to Elvis or Johnny Cash or some old gospel. So I watch them age in reverse in front of me, basically, because they're connecting to 50 years before or some music that made them feel a certain way, you know? Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing that. This song we're going to enjoy actually is it a sad song?
No.
It's not?
No. It's a song of redemption. I don't want to give the, I mean, I guess it's very self-explanatory, but it's a conversation, this song, in the Bible, actually, between the angels and, like, Mary, who's looking for the body of Jesus. And this is a song I got to do at Carnegie Hall the next year. They invited me back, so I did okay. And then this is a song that's on Spotify on this really cool playlist. I'll try to get it for you guys after, but that's doing really cool in this playlist that has a bunch of people in it. But this song's one of my oldest songs. I wrote this when I was 20, and I'm 50.
What was the inspiration?
This moment, just being, you know, reading this part of the Bible, and I was just kind of finding God. There's my favorite parts of the Bible are the ones where there's conversations between like spiritual beings, like angels talking to shepherds or angels talking to soldiers or something like. So this is a moment where they are looking for the body of Jesus. And this song, the way it's recorded that Sam did, Sam Babayan, that you've had on the show, is my favorite sounding music I've ever made, is because he had his old Gretsch and we had a trumpet player come in. It was just, it's very Americana, this song. But I connect, it's a song of freedom, I guess, in a sense as well.
Yeah, I'm sensing a theme. Your company with Kate is Freedom right. Alchemist, right? And you just played Freedom. Yeah. Well, we get to hear it here live. They're going to have to go and get it in order to hear the whole production, but it's going to give a whole different meaning, I think, or experience, definitely, with you live. Here is Paul Green performing The Stone live on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
All right, we got the reverb back on. Let's see how the looper's going to behave, or at least my use of it. So I have to create a beat for it first. Why are you weak?
Paul Green and the Stone. So Paul Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. So find him at paulgreen.com. Find him all over socials at Paul Green Official. And Paul, it's so funny. If I had listened to that song 10 seconds more, I would have known exactly what it was about. So I had just heard from a friend of mine that her husband, also a friend of mine, had just passed. And so within the hour, I was listening to your music, and I came across the Stone, and I heard, "Woman, why are you weeping? He's no longer here." And I thought, oh no, I can't do this right now. And I went to another song. So that's why I said, is this a sad song? Because
I just stuck with it. You still didn't know you could have stuck into it.
That would have been the song to listen to at that moment.
For sure. Especially in the studio version, there's this young kid we found who plays trumpet in it. In the moment where this whole song lifts and shifts is this big trumpet part, like the Angels playing the trumpet. I'm really proud of it. Sam's such an artist, man. I felt so out of my league, but so in my heart with Sam. It was really cool.
Well, thank you. We got to learn so much about you and your music, and looking forward to much more, actually, because it feels like we all need more of this. And I love how the Canadian is bringing Americana.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a such thing as Canadiana, but you know, but Coulter Wall is, I don't know if you're familiar with him. If not, you're welcome, because your life's about to change.
Coulter Wall, okay,
it's from Saskatchewan, and he's an actual rancher, farmer guy who has a voice like Johnny Cash if you lit it on fire with whiskey or something. Like, it makes Johnny Cash sound smooth, his voice. And so there's a real root sound coming that's out of Canada, obviously, because of the climate and the prairies, you know?
Well, it made a wonderful combination in you, and thank you for sharing it in all the ways that you have. All the best to you. Thank you, Paul. Paul Green.
You're welcome. Thanks. My pleasure, man. Thanks for giving me a chance to play and share my story a bit. All right. Nice to meet you guys
again. It's been great. Look forward to more. Well, with a big thank you to Paul Green, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Melanie Martin. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.